Our Father, we do thank Thee for this privilege that's been ours. And we just want to pause to praise You for the encouragement I've received from these good men. And I pray for Your continued work in their hearts. We've enlisted into Thy work. And we want to be trained and equipped. And Lord, we desire to continue. Give us that grace and strength, we pray. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. We're dealing with this final lecture in this Pastor College on Take the High Road. If I ever wrote my own personal memoirs and notes, I would either title it Take the High Road or use one word, the word continue. I'd like to do that. And then I'd like to try to get across that this expression embodies what I've come to believe about the Christian life. I've said things to you like, the Christian life is not a little better, it's completely different. It all begins with God. It all ends with God. Men have come across my path that have helped me so much to get my thinking on track. I wrote a lot of things when I was young, but I'm glad many of them were not published. I'd be trying to fight myself now if they had been. I had the first book published when I was 26 years old on the Sunday school, Big Ideas for a Better Sunday School. There's a whole lot of information that it helps. So the Lord published it years ago. And there are other things I wished I had done a little differently in writing. I think as you grow and mature, you're saying it perhaps a little better way than you would have said it. I'm trying to put out a series of little books now that we've used the theme, little books that can make a big difference in your life, and we want to do that. But let's tackle this subject of taking the high road. All of us have some philosophy for life. Our philosophy for life should develop out of our theology. Think about that every time you say, I believe, or I think, or this is what I think, or this is what I believe. Think, what does God say? It's what you believe and think growing out of what God says, what you know to be true about the Lord. And I hope that you'll understand this principle here, that our philosophy for life should grow out of our theology, what we know to be true about God, our knowledge of God, our theology. What we believe about God, what we know to be true about God determines what we do with our lives. Our beliefs determine our behavior. And so much of what we preach about and teach about deals with symptomatic things, peripheral things, and we need to get to the heart of it, and we're going to help people when they are brought face to face with God and have to be accountable to the Lord. They're going to be helped. If they just treat a sore and don't know where the sore came from, they may have the sore reoccurring all the time. Let's get to the source. And God is the source of the healing and help that we need in all things. If there's something happening in your life that's not what it should be, you must not only deal with symptoms, you get back to the source. It's always connected. What we do is an expression of what we are. How we behave is an expression of what we believe. And there is a road God wants us to travel. We refer to this as the high road. The high road. You can take other roads, but just to encompass those ideas and express that feeling and conviction, we call it the high road. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Colossians 3:1-3. I remember what I read, and I've read over and over and over about the Apostle Paul and the high calling of God. The high calling of God. The preacher doesn't think that he's better than other men in other walks of life. You should never think that you're better. We should honor all men. Think of that when you start to criticize someone. God says to honor all men. And that's all this destructive criticism is not healthy for the speaker or the person that's being criticized. There are truthful things that need to be known about people, and God does say, mark these men. There are people who need to be marked. If we had a restaurant in town where people were being poisoned, and I said, be careful where you eat in Knoxville, you'd say, what do you mean? I said, well, there's some people dying and eating a certain restaurant. I just don't want to mention the name of it. You'd say, well, hey, tell me. I don't want to go there. Give me the name of the thing. So there are reasons sometimes to mention something by name, but just don't make it a practice just naming everything and everybody. And it's like a hate monger on the loose on steroids. You know, it's just it's pretty amazing what happens to some people. But the preacher has received a high calling. This affects every part of his life. His language. I remember Dr. Faulkner saying to me, I'd finished college, came to seminary, and decided I wasn't going to Southwestern Seminary to work in a Southern Baptist church as an associate. Well, I was at Southwestern, but I was going to Temple Theological Seminary and work with Dr. Robertson, I hoped. I didn't know when I first went there. And Dr. Robertson, as they say in the South, took a liking to me and gave me favor. God gave me favor with him. And he came to the place and where he said, he called me a son. He has a son, a very fine son. But he said, you're like a son to me, and I know that I'm like a father to you. And we had that kind of relationship, and I'm very grateful for that. But Dr. Faulkner came to me one day, and he said, Clarence, Dr. Robertson likes you, and we all know he likes you. Now, here are two grammar books. You take them, study them, read them, because he's going to have you speaking in public, and I want you to get it right. I want you to use the right tense, and I want you to use the proper grammar, because you owe this to God and to him if he's going to put you in this kind of visibility. And I wasn't offended by it. I thought, this is wonderful. But you see what he was saying? Take the high road. Take the high road. Preachers today want to be common denominators. I don't like that. I don't think that's what God called us to do. Now, we are common, and the common people ought to love us, and we ought to love them. I see myself as a simple, simple man. My wife and I see ourselves as simple people, and I speak the truth in Christ. I lie not. We just like going somewhere and getting a hamburger, you know. That's us, or a hot dog, and we enjoy that. We're not uppity people, and we didn't come up that way. We were both, I don't know if we were raised in poverty, but we were both poor, and we're grateful, and I love being around people, all people, poor people, and I want to keep it that way. I just want to keep it that way. It's Christ that equips me to deal with people in other social strata, and it's not me, or I think I'm on an equal with them, but I'm not to take a second place to any man, because God is greater than those men, and he lives in me. So if it's meeting the President of the United States, which I've done on a number of occasions, or whatever the thing may be, it's the Lord who equips us. But you're working at it. You're working. I remember going to one of those meetings, now that I thought of it, with the President, and there were people gathered in a room. There was about, maybe 20 of us in a room. And one particular man had on a pair of blue jeans, a sport coat, and a T-shirt. Well, I found the best Navy suit I had, and the cleanest white shirt, and the nicest tie, and I wanted to make sure I was doing my very best. I was meeting the President, but I was meeting the President as a preacher of the gospel, and I wanted to represent my Lord well. Amen. And I don't know where that's been lost, where they lost that, but lots of people lost that. And I think you're altogether appropriate, and propriety has been exemplified here in a meeting like this to sit comfortably and listen. I think it's altogether right the way you're dressed now. But I'm talking about the way people have gone down in these matters. We're on the high road in the high calling. Paul writes this message to the believer. A believer is someone who has placed his faith in Jesus Christ for his soul's salvation, recognizing that he is lost in his sins and he's been separated from God because of his sin and that he has no hope in this world apart from God. And what happens? On the high road, he trusts the Lord as his Savior. He knows Jesus Christ has come to live in him. And here's the key. Here it is. On the high road, we do not choose between the good and the bad. We choose between the good and the best. and we choose the best. It's not a time of deciding between what is good and what is bad. Anyone can do that. Those are obvious choices. It's deciding between what is good and what is best and choosing the best. It's continually following Christ. It's the unending pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking those things which are above. It is this unending pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we develop this as a philosophy for life, it has an effect on everything we do. Someone says, this is good enough. If it's not the best, then it's not what it should be. You see, every Christian should be on the high road. Somebody says when they're going to dress for something, is that the best? Is that the best? They may not have the most elaborate thing, the most expensive thing, but is that the best? Or when you're preparing for something, is that the best? When you're singing a choir song, is that the best? Are we giving our best? We're playing an instrument, is that the best? We choose between not the good and the bad. Somebody said, well, I know, obviously, I don't like that. Well, it's not choosing between the good and the bad. It's choosing between the good and the best. And personal standards are cared for that way. Modesty and identity is cared for that way. Your preaching is cared for that way. The way the property looks is cared for that way. We live on the high road. And may God help us. That's the way it ought to be. The Lord Jesus said life is more than the temporal things we seek after. To make a grand success of your life is a very simple thing. George Truett, the famous Texas preacher who came from North Carolina to Texas and pastored the First Baptist Church in Dallas, is credited with saying many things. Many years ago, he said, there's no failure in God's will and there is no success outside of God's will. There's no failure in God's will and there's no success outside of God's will. There's a great deal of talk today about serving and leadership. Serving leadership. And this servant leadership is something that I'm troubled by. I hear some very dear friends who emphasize this, and many of them in the right way. I deeply appreciate what they're doing, what they're trying to do at least, with this biblical subject. But I want to point out one thing to you. The servant has one responsibility, and it's not primarily to serve. The servant does not begin with responsibility. He begins with God and his obedience to God. If you make a goal out of a service, you've forgotten what the servant's life is all about. The servant's responsibility is to obey his master. The Lord Jesus is our greatest example of this. He obeyed the Father's will. There's only one open secret in the Bible for the God-blessed life. It's not talent, it's not education, it's not intelligence, it is obedience. Just be obedient. Every one of God's children can be obedient. You can be an obedient Christian. Dr. Sells said obedience is not doing God's will, it's delighting in doing God's will. And there's a great difference between doing God's will and delighting in doing God's will. Now, I give you some things that we find on the high road. I'll give you an example. The other day we were having a meeting and we had a speaker in a room, and I said to our young friend, I'm trying to train. I'm committed to training them. I'm committed to training them. I'm not committed to throw them out. I'm committed to train them. Sometimes it can get a little weary. But all these people have been rebuked by me, and I've been rebuked by people and rebuffed by people and reproved. But we came into a room and we had a speaker. It wasn't sufficient. Oh, we had something to speak through, a microphone, and we had a magnification of the sound, but it wasn't like it ought to be. The sound was on one side, and you heard them over here. And I said to our young friend that I love and I'm devoted to him and want to help him, I said, is this the high road? Just doing enough to get by? Is this the high road? No, sir. I'm saying this applies to everything in life. I may see a young man who comes out of the dorm and the shirt he's wearing is not properly pressed. I say to him, you tell me, is this the high road looking this way? We're not about being driven crazy by the thing, but it's about an individual accountability to God where we give our best to the Lord, and we make our best effort. And I say often to people around here who I'm training, and I'm in the middle of it, you know. They consider me, I'm sure, an old man, and they're young people. I don't see myself that way. And I bring them in to try to share my life with them. And we talk about these things. But I want them to get this as a way of life. A way of life. And not just an also run. Every church service should be something more than just an also run. Just also run. It doesn't work that way. Our goal is God. Our goal is God on the high road. In the opening book, the opening chapter, the opening verse, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It all begins with God. Make this a part of your life. It all begins with God. It all begins with God. If you can come by faith to the first verse in the first chapter of the Bible and see that it all begins with God, then you're going to understand, as you travel on this high road, that everything in the Christian life begins with God. Witnessing to people begins with God. Prayer begins with God. Does the Lord approve this? Is this my best effort for Him? We're not on a guilt trip. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about giving our best for the Lord because He gave Himself for us. On the high road, we do not make a goal out of a byproduct. We must recognize the difference between the goal and the byproduct. We must serve God because of and not in order to. And that'll come. You'll understand that. It's the fact that God is always previous. If you'll write that down. God is always previous. And we serve the Lord this way. The Christian life should be lived because of what God has done for us. Of course we want to please Him. But we want to please Him because of what He's done for us. On the high road, we approach God with an attitude of obedience. On the high road, the goal is God. And we remove all secondary causes. We give the illustration of Jonah. When Jonah was thrown overboard, the Bible records that Jonah was thrown overboard by the sailors. But when Jonah prayed from the belly of the whale, he prayed and said that God threw him overboard. Now, who threw him overboard? Who threw him overboard? He removed all secondary causes. He knew that he used those sailors' hands to grasp him, but God was in this. And on the high road, you can recognize God is in this. All things are for my sake. Amen. On the high road, waiting on God is not a waste of time. So I'm wasting my time. I'm anxious. Get out of here. Get to it. Get with it. I'm in a hurry. I got things I've got to do. Hold on. Many people are always anxious, as if God were late, but God's never late. We're just early. He's always on time. Waiting on God, preparing us, is preparing us to receive what He has for us. And the Lord knows when we're ready to receive these things. On the high road, we develop the right worldview. And this basically involves the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. As Christians, we are not to think of the same things the same way as unbelievers. Our work is to do more than make the world a better place from which to go to hell. Our worldview is that Jesus Christ is coming again. On the high road, we're hopeful people. This is life transforming. Our Lord is the Lord of hope. The Bible says, in Romans 15:13, the God of hope. He's the God of hope. This is a powerful, powerful truth. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Remember, our hope is not in the second coming of Christ, but in the Christ of the second coming. He's our hope. On the high road, we are faithful witnesses. We don't just think, well, it's soul winning time. I've got to be there at church at this time. That's good. Do it. Go. Get involved. Set appointments. See people. But the emergency room doesn't just open from 7 to 9 on Thursday evenings or 7 to 9 on Monday evenings. People are in need all the time. And they're acts of mercy and necessity that must be cared for. And the Christian is a witness, and he is a faithful witness. on the high road. And then I continue this list with very little comment, if any. On the high road, we give God's word authority over our lives. Who's your boss? God is, and His word. On the high road, in order to be spiritual people, we must be scriptural people. Get into the Bible. Let the Bible get into you. If it's a Bible memory plan you need, get whatever it is, but get into God's word systematically. Study the Bible to know God. Don't study the Bible to get sermons. Study the Bible to know God. What do you learn about the Lord? Meditate upon the Scriptures, not to be able to prove how smart you are. As a matter of fact, the more you get into God's word and know God, the more you see you're in need. On the high road, we speak the truth in love. Learn how to do that. A lot of times we don't tell what we ought to tell because we don't want to be caught. We're full of guile. Other times we don't tell what we ought to tell because we don't want to be liked. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Be plain spoken about it, but do it in love. Speak the truth in love. That was the ministry of the Apostle Paul. On the high road, the will of God settles everything. You could never explain why I would come to this church as a pastor. Never. You know, I just knew it was the will of God. I loved the people where I was and wanted to stay the rest of my life and wanted to start a school there. Couldn't get it done, but perhaps the Lord would have done it. But God let me know this is where He wanted me to be. And the will of God settles everything. Stop talking about what you can't afford. Stop talking about whether or not God wants you to have it. Use sensible things and money matters. And I would suggest you do dig a little deeper than you may have been digging in that matter, especially when it comes to credit things. But the will of God settles everything. Learn how to know the will of God. On the high road, God has called us to Himself. You say, well, I'm getting to do a lot of things. Well, if you do a lot of things and leave God out of it, you may get lots of experiences, but you're not becoming a better Christian. On the high road, we live the faith life. The faith life, and it'll be challenged. On the high road, we live a biblical standard. I spent a little time, I don't know if it was in a comment, but I remember saying something to you about the law and about mores in society and laws adjusting to the morals of a society. You know, they couldn't keep enough people off of pot, so now they let everybody by law use pot, but it doesn't still means your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. If you live in California or you live in Colorado or somewhere else, you ought not put that stuff in your body because your body belongs to God. And so there's a biblical standard. You're trying to get people to understand that. And on the high road, you live above. It doesn't mean you're above the law. You live by the law, but the law may be on a lower standard. You live above that. You know, God has a word for us, and so the Bible is your standard of life. And you know that in trying to rear your children. On the high road, prayer is a way of life. You breathe out prayer to God. You speak to God. You ask God to help you. You talk to God. You commune with God all day long. On the high road, Christ is the motive. Christ is the motive. If He can't be glorified in it, you're not going to do it. Christ is the motive. On the high road, we develop a devotional life. I know a lot of people who go through the rigors of having devotions, but they don't have a devotional life. They don't make themselves happy in Jesus. You know, you don't just do something to say, I've done it. It becomes a rigorous routine. I love routine, but I want to do more. Duty is good. I love duty. I live by dutiful things, but I want to be happy in Jesus, have a devotional life. On the high road, God gives vision. Vision is a world of difference from ambition. Ambitious preachers are troublesome people because they're users. And they take people and wring them out and get what they can get out of them, and when they're finished with them, they're finished with them. They run people they call friends through certain things, and after they've got everything they can get from them, they go on to another one. But that's not the way a man lives on the high road. He may look like he's high and got lots of opportunity, but the fact of the matter is he's living on a very low road in some alley with self-serving people. But on the high road, God gives vision. He reveals Himself and lets you know what He wants you to do. On the high road, It's Christ who separates us. I recommend again that you get Ellie Maxwell's book on Crowded to Christ, Crowded to Christ, and A.B. Bruce's book on the Training of the Twelve and others we've talked about here. Read some wonderful things that God will use in your life. On the high road, we realize God speaks to us and we hear His voice. We're not in this alone. How do we listen to the Lord? How does He speak to us? Through His Word, through circumstances, through other Christians? How does God speak? Well, we're listening to His voice. God may have someone cross your path, and it's not just someone. It was a messenger from the Lord, and you recognize this on the high road. On the high road, Christ crowds the wrong things out of our lives. Remember, separation is to the Lord and from the world. To the Lord and from the world. You don't just harp all the time about what people ought to give up. Don't do that. Separation is to the Lord. And as Christ is enlarged in our lives, He crowds things out of our lives that don't belong there. Now, there are obvious things we should not do. We know most of what those obvious things are, harmful things. But Christ will crowd those things that are wrong out of our lives. On the high road, we learn to enjoy the journey. That's something we all have to work at. Are you enjoying the day, or enjoying the morning, or enjoying the evening, or enjoying your family? You might get upset about where you go to eat somewhere, but don't let it get upset too much on you because you got a privilege to go eat just one meal. You're going to eat 100,000 of them, you know? Don't be thinking that way. Don't get all worked up. Learn to enjoy the journey. My life was touched by my father's death when I was just a boy. My wife's life was touched by her father's death when she was just a little girl. She was 5 years old, home with her mother, making a cake, and Dad was to come home. They were going to surprise him. When he came to the door, it wasn't Dad. It was someone coming to tell her with cake in their hand to surprise him that her daddy was dead. That's affected her all her life. I've never left her presence without saying I love you and kissing her. She's never left my presence without the same thing. It's affected our lives. And there's this idea, one of these days when I get these kids raised and I'm able to afford some things and you know, can get out and do some things, and then I'm going to be happy. Baloney. Learn to be happy now. You so? I don't care if you're in the eighth grade, be the happiest eighth grader you can be. So, well, I won't be happy until I get out of high school. Be happy now. Be happy now. At whatever age you are in, whatever stage you're in, on the high road, you know, the prime of life is any time in life when you're living in obedience to God. There's no telling what God would do with my life at this moment. Let Him take, if He wishes, all the cumulative total of things that's ever come into my life and use it now for even greater blessing. That's fine. Or whatever He chooses, I can enjoy the journey now. On the high road, we die daily. And we want to get up and stick our ugly head up and want, I want all the attention. I want to be recognized. I want to be called on. I want to be appreciated. I want to be served. And you do too. You do. I want my way. I can even pout about it if I don't get my way. On the high road, getting on the high road and staying on the high road requires daily death. Daily death. On the high road, God-given duties never conflict. And I'm back on that subject. I've talked to you about it already. Being a man, being a husband, being a father, being a pastor. There are many men who have led people to believe, well, if I wasn't a pastor, I could really be happy. Well, I guess God made a mistake calling you. Or if my dad wasn't a pastor, our children could be happy. Something's mixed up here. God-given duties don't conflict. They complement. We've got to get up high enough to to get clarity in these things. On the high road, we have that clarity. On the high road, we have a pioneering spirit. I'm sorry, but I'm thinking about the horizon. I'm thinking what this could mean to others. I'm not finished when I'm finished here today, because we can put all this in bottles, put the right kind of cap on it, and serve it to people. I'm not finished when I'm through talking here today, because we can pass this down the line and somebody somewhere else in the world can be helped and encouraged if it helped one person. I'm not finished because there are things that I know God wants me to do. There's a pioneering spirit. I'm not one of these people that wants to lay down and die. I want to die going 90 miles an hour with a pedal to the metal with 1,000 dreams still in my heart that have never been fulfilled, still wanting to get something done. I've seen men who die before they die. And they bury them about 20 years later. I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want it to happen to me. I heard about somebody the other day that's retiring and moving and getting away from everything and everybody as if they were sick of the world and sick of people and sick of what they've always done and don't want to see anybody. I don't feel that way about it. God will have to give me grace someday when I leave here, and He'll work all that out, I'm sure, because I don't want to be an aggravation to anybody here. But I don't see that coming anytime soon unless I'm incapacitated some way. There's a pioneering spirit here because you get a fresh glimpse of things. You see things differently on the high road. On the high road, we delight in doing God's will. His commandments are not grievous. When we discover this is what the Lord wants, hey, that's thrilling. Let's get at it. He'll help us and He's with us. On the high road, we become the Christians God saved us to be. Now, that's an expression I wish you would use with people, because you say, are you saved? Do you know the Lord? Have you repented of your sin and by faith come to know Christ as Savior? Then are you becoming the Christian God saved you to become? On the high road, we press toward the mark. We haven't apprehended. We've been apprehended. The Lord's got hold of me, but what's He got hold of me for? I want to know why He's apprehended me. Now, what do You have for me? You grabbed hold of me, Lord. I want to know. I want to apprehend what I've been apprehended for. And we're pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Pressing toward the mark. Stretching, reaching, striving, moving, going forward. Pressing toward the mark on the high road. God help us. On the high road, we live a holy life. Let's just talk about holiness. 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 I don't believe in sinless perfection. I believe God sees me that way. He sees me as He sees His own dear Son. Sanctification is progressive in my life, but it will be perfect when I see Him. I shall be made like Him, for I shall see Him as He is. But I believe the Lord requires holiness in my life. And we ought to be a holy people. A holy people. On the high road, we learn to discern. And that's by use. Choices, decisions, discernment. We learn to discern. We live in an overwhelming, demonically infected, perverted age. Things have been reversed. You know, the world hates those that do good, not do bad. We got sympathy for prisoners, you know. We call dark, light, light, dark, right, wrong, wrong, right. And we need discernment, or we're going to be caught up in this. I'll guarantee you, there are preachers from the past who would walk into some of our churches and throw up because they would say, I never thought it would go this far. I remember a little Jewish lady we had in our church in Paterson, New Jersey, Henrietta Veenstra. She and her sister never married. They lived in an apartment together. They carried satchels with gospel literature. They lived to get gospel literature, caught trains and subways in New York City and spent the day just giving out gospel literature, winning people to the Lord. Never missed a parade. They'd carry luggage to a parade and give out literature to everybody. On fire for God. I went to a youth rally once and she happened to go. And I think I was preaching. That's what it was. She went to hear me preach. And they had somebody sing. She had a beautiful voice sing. But she went on with a lot of moving this, that, and the other, you know, when she was singing. And I said to Johanna, I said, well, what'd you think about the meeting? She said, too much attention to that girl, not enough attention to Jesus when she's singing. Yeah. Now, very few people would have said that. But she lived on the high road. Somebody was coming to preach before I got there. It could have been while I was there, but they were telling too many illustrations. Just one illustration after the other after the other. She got up, a little short thing, got up, held her Bible up and said, we're here to hear the Word of God, not all these silly stories. You know? Yeah. You know, but she was a discerning woman. Somebody broke into her apartment one night and they were trying to steal from her apartment, and they were trying to get her gospel literature. They thought there's a suitcase and a briefcase. They thought it had values in it, valuable things in it. And they dragged her all the way down a stairway trying to get that briefcase from her. Broke her arm trying to get that briefcase from her. And all was in it was gospel tracts. One day someone was coming up the fire escape trying to break in her building, and she ran over to the window and screamed at the top of her voice, prepare to meet thy God! And the burglar turned around and ran. That happened. You know, sometimes these people on the high road, they can be a little different. A discerning life. On the high road, we recognize that we are personally accountable to God. That's when you become an adult, you know. You put away childish things. You take responsibility. And on the high road, we continue. Paul, give us a word, will you please? Paul, give us a word. Give us some last word. Paul, you want to walk out into a Roman courtyard and have your head severed from your shoulders. Give us some word, will you, Paul? Tell us something. Just give us a last word, something we can remember you for. Paul. And he said, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. I walked into Dr. Robertson's office and said, Dr. Robertson, I was like 27, 28 years old. I said, I'm here to do anything in the world, anything in the world. I've got energy and I want to do it and help you. I've been pastoring, as you know, for 7.5 years. I'm just enthused. And turn me loose and let me do whatever I can do to help you. I was already working for him. He said, Clarence, you really want to do that? I said, oh, yes, sir. He said, what I want is more of the same. I prayed with him. He prayed with me. I walked out of the office and I thought, I'd like to do something new. But that wise man said, what we need around here is more of the same.